Peter, always good to chat to you. And we've been talking about value in the local market for many years now. This must be exciting times for you because everyone's saying the local market is gaining momentum and showing no signs of stopping.
Yeah, it's true. I think local stocks have been on a run over the past few months, basically since the election, after when the results of the election came out. They've been on quite a bit of a run, but they're still cheap. They're still undervalued, and I would argue they're still very much underowned.
Where would you be looking for value in the current market environment? We have seen some of the players, Calgo, M3, out with results. The property players, I was chatting to Magnus yesterday. He certainly sees value in the property environment. Is that an arena that you would be hunting in?
Yeah, look, the property stocks have had quite a strong rebound, basically because they're so closely linked to the interest rate cycle, and bond yields have come down by 250 basis points since the election. There's a big risk premium that was priced into South African bonds, which came out after the election. Bond yields declined, and property yields declined in sync with that. So the property stocks have had quite a good run. And I think looking forward, you could probably make an argument that maybe the earnings will start to increase as well as vacant space falls up, as rents escalate, and that sort of thing. So I think property makes sense. Local property makes sense. I do think that I would stay away from the offshore property guys still. I think that, guys who manage property in South Africa know what they're doing, but if you're starting to buy Eastern European properties out of South Africa, I'm not sure you are fighting in a fight that you necessarily win.
Everybody's been waiting for interest rates to start coming down. We've started that cycle now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of attention on consumer stocks, stocks that will benefit from consumer being or achieving a reprieve in terms of pressure that they've been under. Is this a space that you are looking at, or have they already run?
They've run. So the large cap consumer stocks have run quite a bit. If you look at the Mr. Prices and of the world, they've run quite hard. But there's some second and third tier consumer related stocks which have not run as hard yet, mainly because they're smaller, illiquid, and the large fund managers don't buy those stocks. Stay with them. So I think there's still opportunity there. And also, if the consumer stocks start doing well, they are going to start wanting to buy more stock for their stores. So you can see the industrial companies in the second order type effect, playing catch up with them, and they have not run as hard by any stretch of the imagination. So I think there's still opportunities that part of the market as well, the suppliers to the retail.
I know that you don't play macro themes. You are very specific when it comes to stock picking. Can you talk to me a bit about those stocks that stand out head and shoulders above other players in the market right now without giving away any of your intellectual capital?
Yeah, one has to be cautious here. It's not really giving our intellectual capital. It's not that there's much of that around. The thing is, if you name one or two or three stocks, there's so many company-specific risks which are unforecastable and uncalculable that you could name a couple of stocks and something could hit these companies from left field that nobody could forecast, and the stock does badly. That's why it's always better to put together a diversified portfolio of investments because, some of them will do well, some of your stocks will do well, and others will do less well. It's just that you don't know which will do well. That's why you have a portfolio. I always say that if somebody could tell me which stocks will do well and which won't, then I'll just pick those, but nobody can do that. I definitely can't do that. So I can name a couple of names, but, I think it's still best for somebody who doesn't want to spend all day long studying the market like most people, to invest in a portfolio of stocks that give you exposure to the African market, like the Merchant West Investment Value Fund, which is a South African equity fund. It doesn't hold any offshore stocks. It's only South African stocks, and it's a diversified portfolio of stocks. So if something goes wrong with one company, there's other companies doing well. But to get back to your question, you asked for some names. I mean, Calgary and Three is the one that pops up at the top. You know, they've just come out with a earnings update. And they say, yes, exactly, yesterday. They came out yesterday with an earnings update, and it looks like they're going to earn about R1 a share, roughly, for the six-month period. So if we double that for the full year, R2 a share, and it's trading at a price of R6. So you're paying a PE of 3 for a stock that's growing at about 25 to 30%. You know, that strikes me as a bargain.
Has it been difficult to ignore the international arena? Because as I started the conversation, I focused, and you focused solely on the South African universe, but
yeah,
it must have been tempting at some points to say there are opportunities further afield.
Yeah. So it's always tempting to do all sorts of different things. But at the outset, we said the Merchant West Invest Value Fund would be a South African fund, because most of the large fund managers have sort of muddied the waters with their equity funds, including offshore stocks and South African stocks. To the extent, and if you look at the South African market itself, it is basically dominated by offshore companies, which have nothing to do with the South African market. So if you're buying a fund from one of the large fund managers, you are buying a combination of offshore stocks and local offshore stocks, and you're getting very little South African exposure. And that's why at the outset, we, you know, 7 years ago, when it was highly unfashionable to do so, we said the Merchant West Investment Value Fund would be a dedicated South African fund, because we knew that these stocks would come back into fashion at some point. So right now, there are very few alternatives for investors to get pure South African exposure. And it's a problem, because most South African investors have no South African exposure. It's a problem they face, and there are very few funds that solve this problem for investors. So yes, one is always tempted to go offshore because the market is bigger, there's more interesting companies. But we decided at the outset to specialize in South Africa and focus on this market. We think there's some really good businesses with really good management that are significantly undervalued. And this remains true today.
Pete, just one final question. What is the biggest overriding risk to your South African thesis?
I think if the politics falls apart, and the fringe lunatic parties like the EFF and MK get more power, I think that knocks confidence, it knocks economic policies, and I think if that sort of thing happens, all bets are off. Who knows?
And you're keeping a close eye on the politics. It doesn't sound as though all is smooth running at the moment.
It would never be smooth running in a government of national unity, a coalition government. There will be continuous jockeying for position at all times. It is one big negotiation, and some of those negotiations happen behind closed doors and you don't know about them. And other negotiations happen out in the public, and you know about those, and they create uncertainty. But that is to be expected. That is how such a government works. I think one has to look at what they actually do over time. And the one saving grace of a coalition government is that the government does less than it might have done if it wasn't a coalition. And the less government there is, the better. So as long as they stay together, it's fine. But again, this is a risk. You know, if it all falls apart, this is a risk that is unforecastable, which again is, if you're running your portfolio, you wouldn't put all your money in South African stocks. I mean, that would be idiotic. You would go overweight South African stocks. So if your neutral position is zero South African stocks, you might have 10 or 20%, and you'd have offshore exposure with dedicated offshore fund managers, not some hybrid South African guy who thinks he can pick offshore stocks, local stocks, and so on. So I think that's how you would put together a portfolio. You would put together a portfolio, go overweight South Africa, but still have diversified exposure to other asset classes and other geographies. That would be a sensible course of action, to my mind.
Nick Viljoen, Counterpoint Asset Management. Always a pleasure having you on BizNews. Thank you very much for your time.
That's Merchant West Investment Management, by the way.
Sorry, Pete. Let me just do that close again. A Merchant West Investment Management.
That's correct.
Pete Viljoen, Merchant West Investment Management. Always a pleasure having you here on BizNews.
Always good to be here. Thank you.